on Toxic Brother, looking at the stuff from yesterday. All the drama, all the strategy and silliness from CO to HOH. Every single season, you know he is the reason. You know what's happening. Rob said that he could do it. Tomorrow he will do it again.
Hello everyone and good morning. Welcome to our live feed update for October 22nd. I'm your host, Aaron Armstrong, and with me today is Matt. How you doing, Matt?
Doing well. I'm, we're getting down to it, end of the season. I'm personally very excited for this eviction tonight, just as I was the last 2 weeks. So I know that there's not a whole lot of excitement lately, but, you know, exciting for me to get to see people that I really don't like walking out the door towards Julie. So that's what I got.
Well, there you go. We are here to update you on everything that happened yesterday on the Big Brother 22 live feeds. It was day 78 in the house. Really, we really are nearing the end here. Only 7 more days as of yesterday, and only 6 more days as of today. So there we are. Yeah.
Well, we're getting down to it. Obviously, after the eviction tonight, we're going to see the HOH, the final HOH begin. Not see it, because, of course, why would we be allowed to see it? But, once feeds come back, hopefully after midnight or so, we'll find out who's part one. A couple of days, we'll find out part two. And then you just kind of watch them play chess and backgammon for about 3 or 4 days. And then we call it a wrap.
Yes. All right. Well, we're going to talk about today. Of course, not a whole lot to talk about, but it's basically in what I'm watching at this point is, will we learn more about what Enzo plans to do if he wins HOH? That's the live feed update for today.
Yeah. And, it's like Enzo watch and Christmas watch as well, because as much as, again, I'm happy to see her leaving. I'm very curious. I've been very interested watching her in these last few days and last few hours as she continues to, make her case. If I can give her anything, I'll give her that she is not, giving up, even though the writing is on the walls. But is the writing on the walls for her? That's, another story. If she's exactly seeing it for what it is, she does think that she's getting evicted because she's such a big threat. She's a better player. She's a bigger, a bigger opponent rather than Nicole to sit next to in those final three comps and whatever. So, yeah, that's been interesting to track the delusion.
It is, because, it shifts, right? Last week, Nicole won 2 competitions. And Christmas was telling Nicole, look, you make it to the final 2. I'm going to be campaigning for you and the jury. It's us women. We got to stick together. You've played a great game. And now, Nicole hasn't won a competition in, 5 days. I don't know.
Right.
Longer than that, I guess. Unless you count the luxury competition. And true. And perspective is shifting again. And it happens with the audience too, where like Nicole had this big spike of support when she won a couple of competitions. And now it's like, this is Nicole again. What are we doing?
Yeah, I feel like we were talking about this last time I was on, about just, the dynamic between everybody, especially down at this point in the game, is going to shift dramatically each week, because everybody becomes a different piece in the game for you at this point. It's like, especially for somebody like Enzo, who is, he's got these 2 people that he's been working close with and these other people that ideally he wanted out. He was trying to push to get Christmas out of the house just last week and keep Memphis in. And now, only days later, he's out here trying to, try to keep Christmas in, because he obviously sees her as somebody better to sit next to at the end. And she might take him to the end rather than Cody or Nicole. So definitely interesting to keep an eye on all that. And especially for somebody like Christmas, who, like you said, the Christmas and Nicole dynamic last week, they were BFFs hanging out in the HOH room together. People were concerned that maybe they're a little closer than they're letting on. But then this week, it's like they don't even know each other besides, a couple of forced kitchen interactions. So,
So Christmas is going to give her what will probably be her final pitch to Cody. This time she's going to focus on the jury votes. She's trying to claim that, hey, look, if Nicole makes it to the end, Enzo told me this, that this is her third time playing. She'll have made it to the end again. People will just want to give it to her again because it's so impressive. And Cody's like, yeah, are people really going to base their votes based on what somebody did in a previous season? Won't people want to base their votes on what happened in this season? Like, nobody wants to watch a jury vote based on a season that wasn't the season they were watching. Which I think is like a clever thing to say to somebody who is heading to the jury. Don't fail the audience by voting based on a season that the audience isn't even watching.
Right. Yeah. He was like, you know, if I lose that way because they voted because, you know, just because she would potentially be winning for a second time, he's like, then they wouldn't even be voting on this season. That wouldn't make any sense. You know, just trying to get that message across and definitely also kind of like drilling it into his own head. I'm sure this is like a little bit of I don't know if it's like an insecurity or just something that he's been worried about, you know, in the game. If he does end up in the final two with Nicole and that happens, you know, he's already talking himself into, you know, this is how I will, you know, wrap myself around accepting this, that I lost to Nicole. They weren't basing it off this season's gameplay. They're basing it off just the fact that, oh my God, she got to the end again, which, yeah, I would agree with. I mean, you know, it's definitely, that is a very big boost in Nicole's favor if she gets there. It's not like her gameplay this season was miles ahead of everybody else. You know, her BB18 gameplay was another story about, you know, people underrating that or not. But as far as this season goes, yeah, if she gets to the end and wins, that's going to have a lot to do with it. But Cody, if you want to sit next to her, then, you know, that's a possibility that you might have to face.
I mean, I think the argument that you can make is, okay, I also made it to the end of my season and I lost to Derek and she beat Paul. You know who else beat Paul? Josh. Would Nicole have beaten Derek? No. Like, at the very least, we have similar resumes here in terms of past performance.
Right. And then wasn't it Nicole that just kept bringing up like, oh, this is going to be full circle. Like, Derek beat you and then you're going to beat me and I won without you guys around. So we're all just going to get our wins here and we'll be one big happy BB16 family forever and ever.
Mm. So he said, look, you never know what the jury's going to do. I mean, everyone thought that Paul was going to win. Everyone thought that Tyler was going to win. It doesn't always happen that way. And she says, OK, sure. But you know that I'm taking you to the final two. I'm willing to take you there. So if I'm in the final three, you're basically guaranteed final two. And Cody's like, I mean, that's where I already am.
It's the lack of self-awareness for me. It's just how is she pitching this to him and genuinely expecting him to believe it? Like, it's last ditch pitches. You know, she doesn't really have much, I think, that she's willing to say. Like, at this point, if I was Christmas, I think the only thing that I would understand that I think would genuinely possibly work is I say, I'm not even going to play the final three HOH comps. It's going to be you and Enzo. You're going to be there in part two. And or part three, because I'm not even gonna play. I don't know if production would even allow that to happen, because they would probably not want it to happen. But that would be the first way that I go about it. Like, it's I feel like what people maybe like a sequester pitch that it sounds like a little familiar. Like, I won't even, like, you know, it's just you control the rest of the game. You can drag me at final four or whatever, you know, so just keep me in and you'll have a much easier path to the end, rather than like, I will take you. It's like, no, you won't. Absolutely. No, you won't.
Yeah. And that's the thing. And I mean, she's been saying to the cameras, like, if it's what I have to do, like, I've got to do it. Like, she would actually take Cody to the final two. But like, even if Cody was privy to those camera talks, right, I still would, if I'm Cody, I still wouldn't take her to the final three. I still wouldn't trust it, because she can say right now, yeah, even to the cameras, that she's willing to all she wants. But when she is sitting there, and she has the option, am I taking Cody or am I taking Enzo? Mm-hmm. There's nothing in her way to cut Cody. She doesn't like Cody. There's no obligation there, feelings wise. It's just what she had to say to go through the last round. And what happens is, you make a deal like that, you're like, I'm willing to do it. I'm willing to do it, because that's what you need to believe in the moment. And then afterward, you start thinking, you know, it wasn't very fair of Cody to force me in a position where I had to make a deal like that. That's not very fair to me. That was, in fact, I'm pretty resentful of the fact that I had to offer something like that. Like that, what a bully he is. Like, I shouldn't have to fulfill that end of the deal. That shouldn't be on me. That's not what I should have to do in order to survive the final four. He deserves to be cut. And then just like that, you're fulfilling your end of the deal anymore.
Mm-hmm. She would, find some way to twist it around to say, like, I'm doing this for Memphis. Cody got him out, and now I have to avenge him by taking him out or something like that. Yeah. Again, the week to week, you can convince yourself of anything. If she is trying to convince herself right now that, not just convince Cody, but also convince herself that, yes, this might be something she has to do to take Cody to the end, put yourself in that mindset. Sure. Like, play the game by playing yourself all the way through to the end of this round, but obviously she's not going to make it to the end of this round. She does keep talking about, though. She's like, I have the fight within me. I if I make it to next week, if I make it to the final three, I'm not done yet. I can keep playing this game. I'm ready to keep fighting and come out on the other side and take it all home. Christmas is for weeks now been talking about, or probably the whole season, but just have noticed it more lately about, she didn't feel that she got the respect last time that she deserved. She made it all the way to the final three. She thought that she played a great game. And the narrative that has kind of been shifted a little bit about how things went down at the final three. But she, definitely thinks that she deserves more respect. And she's hoping when she gets out of here that people are going to be nice to her and maybe show her more respect for this game. And she wants to win. Like, more than I saw with Memphis or Tyler, Christmas talks about how badly she wants this and how badly she wants to win. And that's why she is continuing to go to Cody and try to make these pitches and convince herself that maybe she needs to bring him to the end if that's how she can get to the end. She's really, really wanting this, which is going to make tonight so satisfying.
Well, the annoying thing about it, too, is that when she gets evicted, for the rest of time, she's going to be going, that was a mistake for Cody, because I was willing to take him to the final. Like, she's going to fully believe that she would have taken Cody to the final two, and that it was a massive mistake for him not to take her.
But then he's going to win the game, and it's like, what are you going to say then, Christmas?
She's going to be arguing that she's going to be like, I was willing to take him to the final two, and he cut me. What a terrible mistake. He's not the best player. And then afterwards,
and maybe like not vote for him.
Oh, yeah. I don't think she's voting for him.
Yeah.
Look, we talked about this before, but like, I think she could show up to the jury roundtable, like, fully intending to not vote for him. And then Memphis is like, Christmas, what are you doing?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, obviously she's going to be upset. Cody's fate is completely in her hands this week, and he's not, he's not planning on keeping her. He's going to evict her. I think he's planning on saying, nice things on the way out, when he obviously, could go either a number of directions. He's been frustrated with Christmas for a while now. But I think he's going to say something like, I really like you as a person. And it's just, you're a big competitor in this game. And probably if you boost her ego on the way out, that's the way to, get her jury vote back if it's slipping away from you right now. So tell her how great she is and how, you don't think you can beat her at the end. All of her friends are on the jury, her two friends that are over there, but I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if she ends up voting for him or not. It depends. I don't think she votes for Nicole versus Cody, but I could see her voting for Enzo. Enzo, that's another whole story, though. I don't know. Maybe we'll get to that in a little bit.
We'll get
the way
that
Enzo's managing Christmas on the way out. And yeah, okay, I'll hold off on that.
So Cody's gonna basically tell Nicole everything that that Christmas said. And again, I like this. I like this part of what he's doing, where he's telling her, yeah, she's saying that you're going to have Ian, and that you're going to have Devon, and that you're going to have Kevin. She said that Kevin said that he would vote for you. You made it to the end. Like, I don't even, why would he even say that? And like, she's trying to like deny that, like, oh yeah, why would Kevin have told her that and not me? But as opposed to this sort of like, you're definitely going to beat me, like, Cody is like describing to Nicole what Christmas said about how Christmas thinks Nicole might have the votes over Cody, and how Cody doesn't believe that she's 100% right about it. But you know that in Nicole's mind, she's like, ooh, this is a possibility. This is nice. Maybe I can beat Cody, and he doesn't see it. Like, this is exactly the kind of dynamic that you want to encourage somebody to be okay with sitting with you in the end.
Right. And you're, well, not just you. I think everybody's still pretty firmly in the camp of thinking that Nicole will take Cody to the end. I feel like the only person I've heard vocally anti that is Rob, who thinks that, you know, she might cut him. I still think the door's open that she might cut him. Granted, I have not heard her talk about it as much. So if she has been on the feed saying, you know, I am taking Cody, I haven't heard it. I like to sometimes think for some of these people like a Nicole, who has won the game, that when she gets down to that final decision, if she has to decide, if she's the HOH and she has to cut one of the two guys, I have to think that she would know that her better move would be to cut Cody. But I don't know. Well, you know, that's still, I guess jury's out on that, but I don't know. We'll see.
All right. Well,
holding on to hope, you know, just in case that we get an exciting finale in a couple days.
Now we are going to take a quick break for our sponsors and we'll be right back. And we're back. So let's get back to the show. Well, Christmas talks to Enzo. She says, look, I've been trying, but Cody is not budging. And Enzo's like, I've been trying too, yo. You know, Cody doesn't want Nicole to go. Like, why can't they just admit they have a pregame alliance, yo? That's it. Like, why can't they just admit it, yo? And Chris is like, yeah, exactly. They're such a pair. Cody and Nicole, he just won't let her go. And so I do wonder if this will play into it a little bit. This like, oh, they, well, maybe they had a pregame alliance. Maybe that could help Enzo if his narrative is that he did not have a pregame alliance and that they did, and that that's an advantage for them. That could be a selling point for him in the final two. I don't think it'll change enough, but I expect it to be something that he brings up at least.
Yeah, she talks a lot about how, you know, they had the same mentor coming in. They were both on the same, you know, probably on the same phone calls, like trying to, talk about exactly what we've been kind of talking about on the outside without, I guess, getting, you know, shut down by production for saying like, don't talk about whatever. I don't know how that's going to play into the end. You know, how nobody can bring that up in the final speeches and the final questions. Production would never allow that by any means. But that's, you know, unfortunate, because it is such a big part that people would want to bring up, especially if Enzo gets there. Like, if I'm Enzo and I get to the final two against Cody, I want to say I made it into this game this far into the season working with Cody. And we didn't talk before we got here, unless they did. I don't know. But, you know, saying like these two knew each other. These two, you know, their families are friends. These two have a history together. Of course, they were going to go deep into the game together. But I found my way into that, worked with them, got my way to the end and whatnot. It's just, again, I don't see them being able to use that in their final speeches, which is, you know, probably a detriment to Enzo and his chances. But if Christmas does go to the jury house or the round table and that does come up, even if it doesn't get filmed, or if it does get filmed and it doesn't get aired, I should say, I don't know. There's something there to acknowledge that, you know, that those that Cody and Nicole especially came into this game with that advantage of having each other in their corners, that, you know, regardless of what Enzo's position in that was, if he had been connected to Cody at all coming in, Cody and Nicole's bond is obviously like the one to talk about.
I mean, I think it's the one Enzo is trying to get people to talk about. I think that Enzo overestimates the value of Cody and Nicole's bond. We for a long time in the season, it was very clear that Cody was closer to Enzo than Nicole. They did know each other prior to entering the game, Enzo and Cody. And Cody didn't trust Nicole for most of the season. He trusted Enzo a lot more. I think that Enzo is off the mark here, but I think it's a narrative that plays, as we've obviously seen in the audience. So I think that Enzo pushing this narrative is definitely good for his game, even though I don't think it's particularly valid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I mean, it's again, it's like, how much is he even going to be able to use of it when it comes down to like talking to the jury members? But if it is something that comes up at all, it's definitely something that he can push. And it's like, you know, it's like when you get to the end of a game of Secret Age or Among Us, it's like if you just convince somebody by the end of something that has happened along the way, you know, it's been a while since the beginning of the game. It's hard to, have full memory of that when you're also pushing this narrative here at the very end when tension is high and things matter more than they ever have before. So we'll see how he can use that, if he does.
Yeah, and I mean, I think the counter to it as well is something else that you probably can't talk about in a jury questioning, is that, like, dude, it was called out from a wall yeller, like early in the season, and you guys did nothing about it. Like you mm-hmm. only have yourselves to blame. You can't say that this was not fair. We know each other from having played on the same season. You saw our relationship. It was very visible to everyone. And then it was called out from a wall yeller, and you guys mm-hmm. still didn't do anything about it. Trying to, you know, have sour grapes about this is, pretty sour.
And that brings us to another thing that the jury questioning would never be allowed to talk about, the wall yelling or anything exactly. like that. It's like so many elements that go into this game and go into this season, and especially the way that we've gotten here, are going to be taken out of, you know, that narrative that gets pushed together at the jury roundtable and the final questioning. And, you know, we'll always know from watching how things all played out, but the narrative on the show, and anybody that's binging through, any casuals or anything like that, people watching years from now, it's going to be, you know, a slightly different story, which, you know, not that that's any different from any other year, but just interesting as we're keeping an eye on this season towards the end, that you know, a lot of things that went into it are really not going to matter in the end, as far as from what we're seeing mm-hmm. on the show.
So Christmas lets Enzo know, she says, if you're in the final two, you have my vote.
Okay.
Just to be clear here, Christmas is double dipping in promising people her jury votes. She promised Nicole less than a week ago that not only would she be a vote for Nicole, but that she would campaign for Nicole in the jury. And now she is telling Enzo that she is a vote for Enzo if she hits the jury. And she's double dipping on promising a jury. This is the most unnecessary gameplay I think I've ever seen, because it does nothing for you in the game. And it only encourages the people you're telling that you're a vote for to vote you, to let you go because you're a jury vote for them. And she, in the course of like 4 days, she's gone from, no matter what, Nicole, you're sitting in the end, I'm going to be campaigning for you to win. All right, Enzo, you've got my vote in the final two. What?
Yeah. No, this is again, you know, where people give Christmas credit and give her points for a lot of her different actions, different ways that she tries to play off of people throughout her game, especially down at the end game. It's like the last ditch effort she's trying, but it's the little things along the way like this, that it's like, what are you doing? What are you saying? Where are we going with this? So, you know, if she was even any kind of like that's why I struggle with her, because I have a hard time figuring out what kind of player I think she is, whether I think she's just average or like slightly above average. It's like the skills that she has in the game always, you know, I think will always bring her to a point like this in the game. She'll always be working with the team and working all the way, you know, till the team is going to have to break up. But when you get to this point, it's just, she's never going to be the player that's able to put herself out in front and have the best conversations with people and the best, you know, methods about going about all this stuff. Like, maybe if she studied the game more, she would be a little bit, you know, better. Who knows? Who's to say? Like, if she had heard people saying, you know, don't tell people you're going to vote for them on the way out, maybe. But yeah, it is a little strange to see her promise all these different people, because like you said, they're not, you know, Enzo wants her to stay, but Enzo knowing that she's going to vote for him, it's like, all right, head out tomorrow night. We'll see you later.
Yeah. And just like with Devon, just like with Kevin, it has only helped Cody. The one person you're not saying you're going to vote for, Tyler knew how to do this. Tyler said, if you don't get rid of Cody, you will lose the game. But Devon and Kevin and now Christmas are saying, Cody sucks. You've got my vote. And after this conversation, Enzo, who just the night before was saying, maybe cutting Cody is the way forward, yo. Now he's like, you know, I just got to get to final two, yo. If I just get to final two, I can beat them both, yo. That's it. I just got to get to final two, yo. That's it.
Yeah, which, yeah, I don't know if anyone's really arguing. The season was filled with great players. Definitely a lot of entertaining players, or that most of them went pre-jury. Definitely a lot of active players, but not all of them being the best. You know, obviously Tyler's over on the jury, but yeah, if we do end up with Cody in the end, in a way of like, you know, people bringing strong players to the end with them, thinking they have a chance. I mean, there was a little element of this in Cody's game in BB16 where he, you know, he brought Derek to the end because of course they were so tight, but he thought there was a chance he could beat him. Of course, he wouldn't have done it if he thought there was a 0% chance. So when you give, you know, little bits of hope and you have these good relationships with people and, you know, you're like, I probably can get 5 votes no matter who I'm sitting against. It's like, yeah, this is how we're getting to the inevitable at this point.
Yeah. Well, before Enzo talks to the cameras like that, he does have a conversation with Cody. They talk about how fitting it would be after talking about the season, if they're sitting in the final two together at the end, that they've played such a great game together, so on and so forth. Then Enzo goes, talks to the cameras up in the HOH room. He says, I just got to get to the final two, yo. It doesn't matter about comp wins, yo. Just get to the final two. That's it. If I'll get him on tilt if it's me and him. He'll get angry and stuff. She hasn't done enough to beat me. He has. But I have jury management. I have no enemies in the jury house. None. That's it, yo. We'll see tomorrow. Go from there, yo. That's it.
You know, it's a lot to take in what he's saying there and try to like have hope in it and try to, you know, believe that there could be something there. There could be a chance for him to actually, you know, get those votes over Cody. I think there's something there. There's a little bit there because Cody does get shaken. You know, he can get angry. And if you purposely are trying to make him angry in those final two questions, if he calls out, you know, this is the way I played the game, and Cody, you know, he wasn't as good as you guys think he was, Cody could get frustrated in those final moments and maybe kind of start collapsing on himself in his prepared speech or whatever. I mean, I don't know that it's going to be a complete collapse in the way that we've seen other people, you know, fall apart in the end before. I'm thinking of like did Ross kind of fall apart at the end of BB Celeb, you know, just kind of like noticing that people were coming after him in a way that was like he wasn't expecting. And
honestly, like I haven't really seen too many people like fall apart where they weren't already going to lose. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. if the jury's already voting against you, and they're just trying to, you know, take a pound of flesh, from you, then it looks like you're falling apart. But I've never seen anybody like totally like botch a jury questioning and like lose votes, at least in the live portion.
Yeah. Maybe this time. I don't know that it's, you know, any kind of like actual possibility that could happen. But, you know, if Enzo's going in confident, he knows the situation that he's facing. It's obviously not ideal for him to be sitting next to Cody by any means. But if he knows what he's getting himself into, maybe like there's people that want to vote for him, like we've talked about, the Davons that want to see something there from him. A lot of them are going to, of course, go into that final night and say, if we see Cody in the final too, we have no choice but to vote for him, as much as Enzo is preparing these speeches of what he's going to say. And I don't know, maybe he sways a vote or two with what he has to say, but you know, it's still, you know, obviously tough to see him ending up getting a full 5 votes over Cody at this point. So you know, if only he knew what they were saying over at the jury house, that, you know, it's I mean, he does know. That's why he's saying this is going to be tough. But you know, whatever.
Well, so I just want to, so yesterday we did our live feed update, and what Enzo said to the cameras yesterday was, I gotta win a comp, yo. I gotta win, then I gotta decide who I'm taking, yo, because Nicole's not sweeping nothing, yo. It's crazy. Cody's my guy, but it might be my final piece to cut him, yo. Have I done enough jury management to beat him? And then today he's saying, I just gotta get to the final two. I beat them both, yo. She hasn't done enough to beat me. He has done enough to beat me, but I have jury management. I have no enemies in the jury house. I'll get him on tilt if it's me and him. It's so clear to me that this conversation with Christmas, where she said she's a vote for him, has definitely pushed him a lot further down the line toward bringing Cody again, because even yesterday he was talking, it might be my final piece to cut Cody. He was still on the fence at that point. And right now what this sounds like is that he's back a little bit further out on the fence, like off the fence, and more toward keeping Cody, because he thinks he still probably can beat her. Now he still clearly looks and feels like he would have a better chance against Nicole, and that might still be in his mind. But I think that he will want to bring Cody, and if he thinks that he can beat Cody, then he still might take Cody. But it just, again, it's just very clear to me that he feels a lot more confident, a lot more willing to sit in the end with Cody after Christmas told him that that he has her vote.
It's also very tricky for him, even if he wanted to cut Cody, because that would be him having to have conversations with Nicole. And granted, those would probably not start until after today, after we get into these final parts of the HOH, where then Enzo can maybe go to Nicole and say, look, you and me, we got to do this. We got to cut him at the end. We have to make sure we get there. Because while, yes, that's the move to go have that conversation with Nicole and make sure that you feel like you have that security as well as Cody's security, but he knows how close those two are. He's played the game with both of them for the past 2 weeks, and he knows that information is going to run right back to Cody. So in Enzo's mind, like, he's going to have to know that if he tells Nicole we have to cut him, then she's going to tell Cody that, and then Cody might feel justified in cutting Enzo at the end, because Enzo Cody knows that Enzo was thinking about cutting him. So it's like, at a certain point now, does he have to just pitch his wagon completely to Cody and say, Cody, it's you and me, I haven't told Nicole once, you can, you know, check with her, I've not once gone to her and said I'm cutting you, it's you and me all the way to the end, there's no way about it, and hope that either he or Cody wins? I don't know. It also depends, because obviously, you know, if he gets down to part two comes and goes, and say he doesn't win, if Nicole and Cody both win, then you have to, obviously, you have to pitch to Nicole. We can't beat him. You know, there's nothing that he can do besides convince both of them to take him. But at a certain point, like, say it's him versus Cody in part three, and Cody knows that Enzo was thinking about cutting him, that makes the decision easier for Cody if he wants to cut Enzo. So again, the week to week is going to continue to change as we, you know, want to see them do certain things and want to see Enzo talking about cutting Cody, but at a certain point, with how close the other two are, it's like, can he though? Can he get away with it? I don't know.
Yeah, and I mean, again, from Enzo's perspective, Devon told him she was a vote for him. Kevin told him he was a vote for him. David told him he was a vote for him. Tyler told him, you've got to cut Cody if you want to win this game, but definitely implied that he would be a vote for him, just that nobody else would. But I imagine Enzo's thinking, well, he'll still be a vote for me, and he'll be so surprised at how well I've managed the jury that he'll be like, oh, maybe I was wrong. Now Christmas telling him that she is a vote for him. That's five votes right there. Then you have Memphis, who made the wise guys with him, not Cody, that he was the closest person to Memphis. He doesn't realize that Memphis thinks he's useless, and that's why he was that. And that's six potential votes. And so you've only got like Nicole and Danny and who am I missing here?
Did you say Ian?
Ian. I forgot about Ian. I don't think he's counting Ian, but like that's potentially six votes. And I think that's why Enzo feels like I might have this, because they literally told him that he does. And he's having to go against the word of the people in the house. He's having to assume that they've changed their minds, which they seemingly have. And that's a hard thing to do on top of betraying your ally in order to make it happen. But it is something that he's considering.
And that's why for the past couple of weeks, I have been really comparing these two, Cody and Enzo, in a roundabout way to Anthony and Dane, because I have really started to feel like Anthony's game, you know, it's not the same as Enzo's game by any means. Anthony was a lion. Enzo is the meow meow. They play similar social games, but, you know, obviously not identical, but just the same aspect of like both of them having strong social gameplay and strategic, you know, like manipulating everything from not having those positions of power while their allies were winning all the power, you know, not that Enzo didn't win anything, but it's just, you know, Anthony didn't think that he was going to get to the end and find himself in a spot where he was going to get zero votes, even going against Dane. Like, you know, he kept Dane at final five. He was the reason that Dane survived in the game, because Anthony kept him in the game. And then you get to the end and the person who has the more impressive, you know, playbook behind them, the people that, you know, Dane was the one who was winning all the competition. And it looked like he was controlling the game and controlling the house, even though they were a strong duo together. This is exactly kind of what we're getting down to here, where Enzo's facing a very similar thing. And it's like, you know, he sees that he has played a good game, and he has, in the same way that Anthony did play an incredible game, even though he got no jury votes. But Enzo might be falling into a very similar trap. So it's been tough to watch as somebody who has been rooting for Enzo. But, you know, it is what it is.
It is what it is. All right. Well, I believe that's what we have for you today. Unless there's anything else you wanted to bring up, Matt.
I think that's about it. I really haven't seen Nicole do anything in the past like 48 hours. She's just been, you know, packing and going about her business, you know. I don't know if you talked about this yesterday about, you know, she's been having like panic attacks or something.
I mean, she has panic attacks.
Yeah, she hasn't been doing too well. She was like in the DR for a bit. I think it was yesterday, maybe today, or
maybe yeah, yesterday on the yeah, she was in the diary room for a while yesterday.
Yeah, so I don't know if that's just like extreme anxiety of like Endgame or something that she's been doing all along that I just haven't really picked up on, but you know, could be a little bit of being anxious towards the end of the game. Maybe she thinks that she's going to get cut. I don't think she does, but you know, it's a pretty big week ahead of competitions and maneuvering in these final 6 days. Six, I think, right? So
six, yeah. from today, yeah.
So that's it. We'll see. Grab your popcorn and enjoy the show tonight.
All right. Well, we will be back tonight to recap tonight's eviction of Christmas. So tune in. And then, of course, tomorrow morning, I'll be back to update you on everything that happens today on the Big Brother 22 live feeds. We will likely see the result of part one of the final three HOH. So we'll say congratulations to Cody. And then tomorrow night, they still haven't talked about it, but there should be an episode.
I haven't heard anything from CBS. You know, they talk about when the episode's air. I haven't heard anything. I mean, I'll check the TV guide or whatever, but I haven't heard. Should be an episode tomorrow. Recap of the recap or the recap, but yeah, I don't know.
Should be, but tune in and find out. So thank you guys so much for joining us. You can find me on Twitter at Armstrong Taren or on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taren Armstrong. I will be live today, later today, to talk about Stockwatch, and to talk about, what will be the, you know, essentially, one of the final, you know, times to buy and sell. If you want to get some picks in on the Stockwatch.
Bye, Cody.
I don't know if there's not a lot of return on Cody, I think. So,
don't you have to have the person at the end if you want to have any chance of winning?
Well, this is not the final one because there's one more roundtable. Yeah.
Never mind. Right, so, I forgot about that.
See, that's why you got to tune into the stream so that you know the ins and the outs here. So tune in today. I will be live. And that's just about it. Matt, where can people find you?
And Sunday, as you'll be streaming on Sunday, and I believe I'll be there. So getting into the Among Us action over on Taren and Puya's Twitch stream. So check that out. And, you know, one final plug, I guess, for the season here of if you are a Glee fan, come check out the podcast that Amon and I do. If you want to, at the Choir Room, we're still rolling with that. So that's all I got on Twitter at Matt Liguori. And that's it.
All right. That's it. Yo, come on.
That's it. All right.
Thank you guys so much for joining us. See you next time.